One of my favorite Christmas movies that I watch, there's certain movies that I watch every Christmas, and one of those movies is The Christmas Story. I love The Christmas Story, and the main character, if you know the story, is Ralphie. Ralphie, throughout the movie, really, really wants a present bad.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle. And there he is. Red Ryder himself. In his hand was the knurled stock of as coolly deadly looking a piece of weaponry as ever I had laid eyes on. For weeks, I had been scheming to get my mitts on one of these fearsome blue steel beauties. My fevered brain seethed with the effort of trying to come up with the infinitely subtle devices necessary to implant the Red Ryder range model air rifle indelibly into my parents' subconscious.
Ralphie! Randy! Down here in 2 minutes! And I mean 2 minutes!
All right. Yes, he wanted the Red Ryder BB gun, and everywhere he went, they said, you'll shoot your eye out. His parents said, you'll shoot your eye out. His teacher said, you'll shoot your eye out. Santa said, you'll shoot your eye out. And he eventually gets shooting his eye out almost, you know. But this is a time of expectations right now from children. Children will tell their parent what they want for Christmas. And they really believe they're going to get it. They really expect it. Either it's going to come from them, or it's going to come from Santa. But they have to remind their parents they've been really, really, really good. This is the time, you know. But we all have expectations in our lives. Husbands expect things from their wives. Wives expect things from their husbands. And as long as those things are reasonably met, then it's thought that you will have a happy marriage. We expect things in our families. We expect things on our jobs. And we expect things in just life in general. The idea is if you follow the rules, you can expect a certain result. And that's true of God. There's many people not in church today, and they will tell you, listen, I used to pray, and I used to trust God, and I used to go to church, and I used to give money, and I used to help, but something happened. They won't usually tell you what it is, but a lot of times it's something like I prayed about something, and I've lived a good life. I did all the things God wanted me to do, and God let me down. God didn't help me. And sometimes it's a person that they prayed to God about. They prayed that God would heal them, and He didn't heal them. And someone died that they loved, and God didn't stop it. So because God didn't meet my expectations, I'm done with God. So my question is, where does it ever say that God will meet your expectations? It's not in the Bible. He never said that. We've been looking at the true backstory of Christmas, and it's full of expectations. Throughout the Old Testament, there was all these prophecies. Last week we looked at five, but Jesus, not hearing about Jesus and not knowing anything about the New Testament, they struggled to understand these prophecies, and they had expectations. They wanted an earthly king, and they could not imagine God coming to this world in the flesh. It was even during Jesus' ministry that there was constant friction because Jesus did not meet their expectations. And as we've already seen before time began, there was a plan by which Jesus would come to this world. And the Old Testament was filled with all these promises that the Messiah would come into this world. This was to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. And as the time approached, God put people in place for it to happen. Now, even in our own lives, and you can actually think back over your life over the years, and you can see how God put people in your life to help you. And they came at your life in just the right time. But I have to caution you today that God's plans will seldom ever match up with your expectations. We see this today as we study Matthew chapter 1. Now, Matthew was a gospel written to the Jewish people. The Jews were really careful about paying attention to prophecies, and they had all these expectations for the coming Messiah. The Jews were interested in who your father was. So Matthew chapter 1 starts with the genealogy of Joseph's, what we would call the earthly father, his genealogy. Jews were interested in which tribe you came from. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, you're going to see a whole listing of people that God used to bring people, to bring Jesus into the world. Now, this isn't a complete genealogy. It's just like a representative sample, just enough to show the Jews that the Messiah would come through Mary and Joseph. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and we're just going to look at the first verse of the New Testament. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The first verse, Jesus is called the Christ, the Messiah. Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. This is the Greek word for Messiah, the promised one, the one predicted in the prophecies of the Old Testament. So we focus today starting here on verse 18. So look at verse 18 with me. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now we know that Mary was a poor girl. She was probably about 12 to 13 years old. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. Joseph is who we're going to focus on today. Now we really don't know much about Joseph. We know in Matthew 13:55 that he was described as a carpenter. And the same word is also used for the word translated mason. So Joseph might not have only been able to lay the foundation of a house, he might have actually been able to build the house. Joseph is doing all the right things expected of him to be blessed by God. Mary and Joseph were engaged. Now, what this means in the first century was that your parents decided, hey, I think our kids ought to get married. That's it. And so the money was paid, dowry was paid, promises were made, and children were basically told, you're going to marry this person. And even sometimes very young children made promises that they were going to be marrying this person. That's how it was in this culture. There was no dating. Girls didn't wear letterman jackets of their boyfriend. They didn't have the ring around your neck. No dating, nothing like that. Your parents decided who you were going to marry. So when you became engaged, you basically became legally married. And the only way that you could get out of an engagement was by a divorce. So for about a year, there was not any physical relationship. It was a time of protection. It was a time to prove that you were a faithful person. And after a year, there was a wedding, which lasted 7 days. So the money was paid to the father. It was going to cost him a lot of money to give his daughter away. And so he needed that money. And if you broke off the engagement, you didn't get the money back. So it's kind of the downside of the whole thing. So Joseph is following the system of marriage. He's following the system that his father and his grandfather, his father's father, way back, this is the way it was always done, and Joseph is following what his generation of family has always done. He's doing all the right things. He's doing everything expected of him, and he has all the expectations of any young, engaged man. He has his life ahead, and I'm sure he had plans for his life ahead. And then there's a surprise. It says Mary was found to be pregnant. Now in the Gospel of Luke, we know that the angel appeared to Mary and told her she would have a son. And she goes to her cousin's house and she returns very pregnant. Apparently, she never told Joseph. It was just found out one day. Did he just notice one day? Did someone tell him? However it was learned, it was an earth-shattering thing. thing for him. Joseph knew Mary. He knew of her character. And this was so far removed from who he thought she was. Now look over here in verse 19 of our same chapter. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. Now here we learn what kind of person Joseph was. It says he was upright. He was righteous. According to Jewish standards of the day, he was blameless. He wasn't perfect, but he was trustworthy. And Joseph is facing a real dilemma. He had done all the right things in his life. He had played by the rules. He had expectations for his life. He was soon going to be married. And now this godly man is put in a position where he would be shamed. You would figure that a faithful man like Joseph, everything that he did, God would bless and it would just work out wonderful. But instead, he's put in this position where he has to make some difficult choices. The options at this time were not good. So was Joseph angry when he found about this? Was he in mourning because his life was over as he knew it? There was basically two choices Joseph could make. He could publicly charge Mary. The Old Testament standard was that if a woman was pregnant before marriage, she could actually be stoned. That's the Old Testament standard. But this wasn't even a consideration for Joseph. He was compassionate. He loved Mary. So Joseph was thinking, number two, of putting Mary aside privately, which was basically a quiet divorce. And they would write out a private bill of divorce. Nobody really would even know what happened. And nothing was written down about it. So Joseph had this as plan B. I mean, it seemed to make the most sense. Yeah, but God had another plan for Joseph. So look in verses 20 through 22. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. So while Joseph is deep in thought, he has a dream. Now this wasn't just an ordinary dream. I don't know how your dreams go. Does anybody have a lot of dreams? I have dreams, and I would like to tell you they're great prophetic dreams, but they're not. Some of my dreams are so wild and crazy and silly, they are not connected with reality. And no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to come up with a spiritual anything with them. But they are funny. I started keeping a dream journal, and I read it to my daughter one day. We got the biggest laugh. It was funny. But anyway, this wasn't like that. This was a real angel. Six times in the New Testament, you're going to find this kind of divine communication. And the angel speaks to Joseph, and his first words are to remind him of his godly heritage. He says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived is from the Holy Spirit. The angel doesn't say, and we should note this, Joseph, you're going to have a son. It says, she will have a son. Joseph is never called the father of Jesus. Even later, Joseph is told to go to Egypt, and it was told him to take the child and his mother. He's told to take Mary as his wife and to give the baby the name Jesus, which literally means Jehovah shall save. He's told this child will save the people from their sins. God chose Joseph in a very important role in Jesus coming to this world. And we can learn some things about what God expects when He uses us. One lesson we can learn is that God expects us to make personal sacrifices. Now, when you stop and think about it, Joseph was called to sacrifice a lot of things. He was never going to be called the father of Jesus. He could never boast about his son like fathers like to do. He didn't even get to do a thing that was very precious in that culture, and that is to name your child. He didn't get to do that. All the fathers got to do that. The angel told him what the name would be, And Joseph was also put in a position where people would not understand. See, when most, not like today, when people have a child or a couple children and they're not married, people don't think anything about it. But a child born out of wedlock in this culture was not acceptable. So how would he explain it? How would Joseph do this? Would he say, you know, listen, this child is really the Messiah. It's not my baby. I mean, how do you explain that to people? Or it was a miracle from God, or an angel appeared to me. I mean, how would his family ever understood? It's interesting that after the dream, Joseph takes Mary, who's 9 months pregnant, to his hometown to pay taxes. And isn't it curious, when he goes back to his hometown, he couldn't find a, he's going to his hometown now. He couldn't even find a family member to stay with in his hometown. This is a big, yeah, that big families back then. And she's 9 months pregnant. You would kind of think that a distant relative somewhere along the way would have said, you can stay with us, we can work in. But there was none of the relatives stepped in. Why? Well, there was shame involved to being pregnant before you were married. So the only place available was a place in the inn that wasn't even a room. So the best they could find was a stable. And Mary made a great sacrifice, but Joseph made a sacrifice. And God's plan was so different than what they expected. But that's how it is when you're used by God. Now, second lesson, God expects obedience when it doesn't make sense. Now, the conventional wisdom of the time was that Joseph's only option was divorce. But an angel says, take Mary as your wife. And this is what God does sometimes when he uses us. He calls us to do things unexpected and unpopular. And people in the world will not agree with you. They're going to think you're crazy. A year and a half later, after the Magi visit and gives gifts, the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. This is over in, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, one page over. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Joseph is called to unexpectedly to immediately leave at night and go to Egypt. Now, no advance planning, just a warning, Herod is coming to kill your child. So Joseph took the child and his mother and acted. He saved their lives. Someone prays, dear Lord, and may you use me. Better be careful. Better be careful praying a prayer like that, because you never know what God is going to do in your life. If you really mean that prayer, God is going to end up surprising you in an unexpected way. So be ready to obey, even if it's convenient, even if it's inconvenient, doesn't make sense. But God has expectations for us when he uses us. The third lesson, God expects us to trust in his promises. So what did God promise Joseph? He was told that Mary would give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. Joseph was promised that Mary would have a long-awaited Messiah. Now in our verses, Matthew injects how this was a fulfillment of prophecy. So look over here in Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Matthew quotes Isaiah 7:14, which was originally a prophecy to Ahaz, that God would give him a sign and that God would be with him. But this sign ultimately found its fulfillment in the birth of Jesus. It says he was born of a virgin. And the original word here is literally the term virgin. Jesus didn't have a human father. He only had a human mother. He came from heaven. He was fully God. He was fully man. So how does Joseph react to this new information from the angel in the dream? Look at verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph obeyed. He trusted God's promise. God put the right person in place. And Joseph would be a good earthly father. He would be the one to care for baby Jesus. Now the next time we gather together, we're going to look at that moment when Jesus came into the world after thousands of years of prophecy. But God puts all the people in place. But there's one thing that stands out to me as I'm reading these verses, and that's this. God's promises are always better than any expectations you have. Let me say it one more time. God's promises are always better than any expectations you have. Joseph trusted God, even though it's not what he had planned for his life. And some may think that Joseph kind of got a raw deal here. He didn't get to name the child, and he would not even be the actual father of Jesus. But Joseph had an actual angel appear to him. You know, some people write books about angels. They're so fascinated by angels, but they've never had an experience like Joseph. Joseph has angels appear to him. You know, I've always wanted to be like one of the 12 disciples. I wanted to be what it was like to be there and to listen to Jesus and to talk to Jesus and to watch him like the 12. But Joseph held the Son of God in his hands. He got to teach him to walk. All those trips they made to the synagogue together to worship, they worked together. Joseph had decades with Jesus, and Jesus lived in his own house. Now, he did have to deal with a perfect son. I think that'd be a little bit of a challenge there. So have you ever had your child be right about something, and you thought you were right, you know, and you told them to do something, and then they said, sorry, I think you're wrong about that, Mom. You know, has ever had that happen? It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Well, can you imagine Joseph, you know, he's working in the shop or something, and son, I need a 2.5-foot board over here, and actually, Joseph, I think it's 2 feet. Wait, let me check on this. Well, you're right. You're right, Jesus. How often did that happen? But after taking his family to Egypt, Joseph fades into the background. They have other children. But when Jesus is on the cross, Mary's all alone. And most scholars believe it's because Joseph passed away before. But God put the right person in place, and he always does. Joseph was just quietly serving behind the scenes. But you know what? Those are some of the best fathers around. They faithfully serve God. They're just working. They're just providing. They're just loving their families. They don't always get the press. But some of the best servants are those people that work behind the scenes. And I want to be like that. Those are the people that I admire. But we still struggle with expectations. We expect things on the job. Things happen that didn't make sense. Sometimes we look back hindsight years later and we can understand why some things happen and it makes sense. But there's still those things that don't make sense. I'll tell you one of them, the pandemic, it's still not making sense. Still not making sense to me. I really have no idea what God was doing by allowing that. But it's still a question for me. And maybe 20 years from now, I'll be able to understand it a little bit better. But you can be sure of this. God's promises are always sure. Now, you may be like me, and you might have trust issues in your life. And maybe you have broken promises that you've experienced. Maybe a friend lied to you. Maybe an employer promised something to you, and then they changed their mind. Or maybe a spouse promised that they would love you, and they didn't. I think we could write a book if we all got together and we started sharing broken promises. We could write a huge book right in this own church right here over promises, broken promises that we've gone through. But I can tell you this with no doubts. God's promises are like no other people's promises that you've ever got. If He said it, He's going to do it. And the problem is more a problem with our expectations. God never promised an easy life. God never promised that we wouldn't hurt. He never promised that we would always have this amazing physical pleasure that we want. He didn't promise that we would always understand why. But let me give you just a few promises that He did give you. And I can guarantee you they're always true. And if you're a Christian, it's not to everybody. These are for Christians. Jesus promised He would never leave you. Jesus promised that if you drew near to Him, He would draw near to you. Jesus promised He would never stop loving you. Jesus promised He would never stop pursuing you. Jesus promised His Spirit would live inside you. He said He had redeemed you and adopted you. He promised that no matter what goes wrong in your life, that He will work it out for good. Jesus promised a full life. And when you reach the end of your life, you know where you will be. God's promises are always better than any expectations that you and I might have. But why do people hold back on God? Well, it could be that they're afraid to trust Him. Maybe they hear all these promises and they don't feel worthy of them. I'm just not good enough. And that's what the devil is telling you. But there's nothing to keep you from God's love. And if you will come to Him and you will put aside your trust issues and you'll just obey Him and you'll just trust Him, if you'll say, God, you know, I don't know how this is all going to work, but and I don't know how You can use me, Lord, but if You can use me, just use me, Lord. And I'll give my life to You. I'll turn my life to You, Lord. I'll turn away from my sin. I'll do what You want. I'll confess You. I'll be baptized. I'll do this, Lord, if you'll just use me. I can promise You He will use you. And it will be a life that will be full of joy. And no matter what happens, you'll always have His promises to lean on. Well, we're going to have our time of invitation if you have a decision to make. But we're going to be singing that old hymn that talks about the promises of God, standing on the promises. Yes, let's all stand as we sing. This is one of those songs you got to stand while you're singing, standing on the promises.